Welcome to October 5th City Council meeting, and Chaplain Cavis is with us this evening, this afternoon. He'll lead us in the invocation, followed by the pledge of the flag.
Father, we are grateful to you again for this opportunity to serve our community, serve our state, to serve our county, serve our nation. We thank you for the authority that you have invested in us to make decisions as men and women overseers of this great work. We thank you for your blessings upon these, our people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Madam Clerk, if you'll call the roll, please.
Sure. Mayor Urs?
Here.
Mr. Owens?
Here.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Here.
Ms. Rich?
Here.
Mr. Gwynn?
Here. All right. Next is awards. We have a service award for Chris Thomas for 20 years of service. Chris here? Okay. Pull it out, Chris.
This is for 20 years of service, and this is for Chris Thomas. Chris is a Cowan native, graduated from Forest High School, CSCC, departing from University, where he received a bachelor's in business administration. He started with the city in September of 1990 at Golf, where he served as the clubhouse operations manager, and was transferred for director of the Recreation and Park in 2001, where he was a special services coordinator. And I've known Chris a little longer than that. Next, item three is public comments. At this time, is there anyone in the audience that would like to come in front of council and speak on any subject? Now would be the time to do it.
Hi, I'm Ron Sonic. I live at 4626 Northeast 14th Place here in Ocala. I've been a citizen of Ocala about 7 years, and we love it here. I wanted to make a comment to Mr. Olin. Last week we were here at the budget passing, and he made the comment that we were the first time anybody showed up regarding the budget, so we were sleeping at the switch. It's a point well taken, and we'll try not to let that happen again. Mr. City Manager, you mentioned that as you made the statement, as our economy heals, as you put on your presentation for the budget, I don't see any evidence of that happening anytime soon. And the thing I see is with this increases in taxes, it's just another small nick in the citizens' budget, in their personal budgets. When you take the federal government and the increase of health care and everything that's coming down the pike, increases in our utility fees and so on and so forth, all these little nicks are going to result in the goose that laid the golden egg. It's going to bleed to death. And the most disappointing set of circumstances that happened last week, was Mrs. Hainbuckle, who our organization vetted. She was running against a very experienced candidate, and we saw her as being real, refreshing, and the fact that she made the statement that she wouldn't raise taxes was probably the reason why so many people in our organization voted for her, plus many neighbors that I had in Autumn Ridge. I believe in redemption. This is another year, and hopefully you'll live up to your campaign promise this year. And if you can't, maybe you should step aside. Today at 1 o'clock, I want this to go into the record. I received an email from my good friend Sam McConnell, and I'd like it to go into the record, so I'm going to read it to you. It'll only take a couple minutes. Did any of you folks get an email?
Did you
have a chance to read it?
Yes, I read it. I responded to it.
Well, for the people, I want to read it. It's labeled, "Now is not the time," when our citizens are facing the second highest economy in the history of our country. Now is not the time when our registered unemployment is 14.4% and the unregistered is equally as high. The Bureau of Labor Statistics ranked us at 348 out of 372. Now is not the time when many of our tax-generating businesses are barely holding on to pay their bills. Why pass an additional cost on the burden to strain business before operating costs to close more businesses to produce less tax revenue? Now is not the time when many of our tax-paying citizens have had to take pay cuts, reduce hours, or lost their jobs entirely to pass more tax burdens onto their backs. Now is not the time to give $1 million in pay increases to very worthy and deserving civil servants when the tax-paying constituents they serve are facing great hardship and must bear the burden for someone else's betterment. City Manager made comment that they're doing more with less people. I don't know of anybody who's still employed in this county who wouldn't want to keep their job and accept a loss in income. I don't think they'd quit their job. Now is not the time when you have decreased your budget by $47 million from the previous year. Why do you need the same revenue as last year by raising the tax millage rate? Now is not the time to dedicate $4.7 million to recreation and parks by raising our taxes. Now is not the time to appropriate almost $3 million to growth management when we are in the middle of a great recession and we have the blight of closed businesses up and down any city street. Now is not the time to increase your information technology spending over the previous year when you have reduced the number of employees. Now is not the time to be spending approximately $1 million per year as an internet service provider for approximately 40 customers. Now is not the time to be spending $1.5 million to operate a municipal golf course when the large majority of our taxpayers can't afford to use the facility. Now is not the time to use the example of raising tax rates to level our city revenue as property values decrease when the same computation wasn't followed in the fiscal year 2004 to 2007 to lower our tax rates when property values were going up. Now is not the time to take the money out of the free enterprise, thus reducing labor and raising prices on goods and services to offset an increase in property taxes. Well, we need every dollar possible reinvested into our anemic economy. Now is not the time when we need to attract new industry and commercialism to a stagnant economy by projecting an image of higher tax rates for all commercial property. Bottom line, smart businesses are not enticed to municipalities or raising their cost of doing business. And finally, now is not the time in budget meetings to present to the public we are living within our means. This is a balanced budget, when citizens are smart enough to realize that was done by raising our tax millage rate, a financial burden that our citizens are ill-equipped to bear. And I'd like to just say in closing that, you know, we all live in the city, I believe all of you probably do. We're all in this together. I mean, I'm sure every one of you, you know, I don't know if you pay for your medical insurance or if it's picked up or if you did it free or what the circumstances are. My premiums have gone up about $1,100 a year, and I've had this plan for 50 years. And we're looking at now being ticketed for going through a red light, a fine of maybe $150, an increase of $300-$400 in our automobile policies. We're looking at hurricane and sinkhole coverage. Our homeowner policies going up 30, 40, 50, 60%. And these are all things that are going to possibly affect you. So, I mean, if you have the mentality that we're in this together from the federal government all the way down to city government, maybe you would think twice about raising our taxes. Thank you very much.
If you all have anything, comments for Stone? Rick?
Yeah, respectfully, there's a number of the things in that statement that are wrong. Okay. If I can give a few examples quickly, our telecom or cable system is paid 100% by the end users. It does not receive any tax dollars. As of this year, our golf courses don't receive any tax dollars. They're self-sustaining. And there's a number of other things that were stated within there that are not based on...
But if you're going to respond, you need to come up to the podium.
By Mr. McConnell's statement, there's, you know, and all these things were clearly defined as we went through the process. And we do begin this next April for next year, and I would certainly welcome. And frankly, if government accounting and finance is a tough topic, and if there's a meeting that our CFO and I can attend that maybe help show how different budgets are handled differently and different things are paid for. Most of the things we do in government aren't paid by general taxes at all, and so we'd be happy to do that if we're given the invitation. But thank you for your comments today.
Councilwoman Heibach.
Just a couple things, sir. You quoted that I promise not to raise taxes, and what I remember about the campaign and the things that I talked about during the campaign were a more open, transparent, and responsive government. That was the main theme of my campaign. Specific promises, I didn't make much because I'm new to this, as you said, and so it would have been hard for me to know exactly what the job consisted of. But I think you make a good point with the red light cameras, and that has been the focus of what I have looked for, are where citizens do get the little nicks. And that's a perfect example. I think the fire fee is a perfect example, that you don't see the taxes increasing at the millage rate level, but there's all these other small things that continue to nick at you. And unfortunately, those things, you know, you get no deduction on your taxes for that, like you do when you pay the millage rate. So for me, this is just my personal opinion, I would prefer to have an increased millage rate if all those other little things would go away. And we're straightforward about where government's being paid for. Are you following my thinking? And that to me is more transparent, more honest, if you will, more straightforward a way to govern, is to, you know, put it all in the millage rate and let's get rid of all these other little nicks that you refer to. And I hope that answers your question as to where I'm coming from and maybe gives you a little more insight as to my way of thinking.
If you're going to respond, just come up to the mic and respond. I should have told you that before. I apologize.
The next I was speaking about are only, as far as the city are concerned, they're minor.
Right.
But they're just another nick.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about health insurance overall, and all the things that came out of Washington, D.C. I mean, it's enough to smother you.
Right, and we all feel that.
I don't know how you sleep at night, but I got a 21-year-old daughter who's a pre-med student in college, and I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to see her through on this without going into debt at 71 to pay for her education.
Absolutely.
With all this other stuff.
Right.
So it's
I
not
have
a nick, a lot of this stuff is a gash. Okay? Thank you.
Councilman Owen.
I was at the end of the mic. Sir.
Sir.
Sir. Councilman Owen wanted to respond to some of your comments.
Again, appreciate you coming back down. And again, as I told Sam, I've talked at night. I've also talked to him a couple of times since then. We will, again, we start February, March, which I told him early March, somewhere in there, our budget process will begin. It is absolutely open to the public. You can come be a part of it. And the one thing that I had told him, and I'll tell you, it's funny, he goes, well, if I was in charge of the budget, I would cut out the non-essentials. I said, explain to me what non-essential is. He brought parks and rec. I will promise you, and I would almost guarantee it, we have that budget process, and we beg people, come, so you and Mr. McConnell and what the other Tea Party individual from Dunellen who doesn't even live here showed up, three people. Let's throw out. Let's just try it. City Council is going to close Parks and Rec. We're going to dismantle that $4.5 million. So we'll save the taxpayers there. There will not be enough room in City Hall for the people that will show up when we make this edict that's a non-essential service. We're going to cut rid of parks. My point is, everything to somebody is essential. It may not be things that are essential to you. There may not be things that are essential to me. They may not. Everybody's got their own little. It's this thing we call community. It's the thing we call the city of Ocala, and we try our best to allow a little bit of ray of sunshine for everybody involved, because everybody pays taxes. Me, you, everybody up here, we all do that. So non-essential. I don't know how you define non-essentials. Again, as Mr. Horst just pointed, I had no problem coming up here, and you can speak as many times as often and challenge anything that we do. It is all open. The thing, as I told Sam. If you're going to put out some comments, put out the whole comments, because that's what we have to do. The whole truth is what we have to deal with. Yes, we're going to spend $1.6 million on golf, but the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, people who come in that parking lot have to pay. They have to pay. So that 1.6 becomes, I don't know, what is it, that we're $28, $30 to play around the golf now. It's not just 1.6, and there's a big sign out there that says free golf. Come do that. The rest of the story is, as we blanket this out all over the city, is city's just, foolishly spending 1.6 on golf. We go through so many instances of some enterprise zones that we have, things that are self-funding. He talked about the internet kind of thing. There's instances out there where you're just telling kind of half the story, and that's people's prerogative. They can absolutely do that. Again, I'll say it like I told Sam. I'll tell you, February or March, we don't know what those dates are going to be yet. Now, as we move closer to them, come be a part. Come absolutely be a part and go through those things, and you tell me what's essential to you and not essential to you. Because there may be things that I think we ought to get rid of that you'll probably jump up and say, oh, wait a minute, I need that. I think I want that as part of my community. That's why I live here. That's why I pay taxes. So, he had told me that on the Parks and Rec thing. It would be funny just to say that we're considering having a workshop that maybe we don't need to have Parks and Rec. We'll have to bus people in here. We'll have enough parking in here, because that to some people is essential. So I do appreciate you coming down. Look forward to seeing you in March. I mean, I honestly do. I look forward to seeing you in March.
And just y'all go ahead.
No, Ms. Rich, go ahead. Speak last.
You said something that if we thought, knew that this was coming from the federal government all the way down, and that it we were a part of it.
No, I didn't indicate that.
What did you say?
You misunderstood me. I says that the tax burden is coming from, it's each individual. I don't think that everybody's looking at the total picture, whether it's the city, the school board. I'm sure many of the things that are not related to the city are going to affect you personally just as severely as they're affecting my wife and I and my daughter. And I'm not saying that the city is tied into this, it's all a separate entity. But it's the accumulation of all this that really, it's not a nick, it's a gash. Whether it's healthcare or tornado insurance or homeowners' policies going up, and I'm sure all that stuff will adversely affect you personally also.
But what did you say about us not having the mind to, if we thought about it or something?
I don't know if you think and look at the entire situation.
Hold on a minute, God's going.
I don't want to get it. I'm not going to defend what I said, and I think you're taking what I said out of context. And I don't want to waste anybody's time by trying to explain. I wasn't blaming the city for what goes on with other phases of the government.
No,
I'm just saying it's
meant
an accumulation of all this, that we're on the bottom of the heap, and sometimes it looks like it's insurmountable to survive.
I thought you meant that we don't think things out clearly.
No, I didn't mean that at all.
Okay, well, I apologize.
Okay.
But that's what I thought you meant, and I was going to say, we sit here from February, March until the budget is due in September, going over all this stuff. So
my wife is going to come up and address these things that are going down and the red lights. I just want to make a comment. When I moved to Ocala 7 years ago, I checked around at Palm Chevrolet when I bought a vehicle there to see if the automobile sold in this county had turn signals on them. You know, left, right. I don't think anybody uses them. And if you want to raise revenue in this town, if the cruisers have a sling to slide your credit card and you nailed everybody and charged them $25 for that signaling going left or right, I think you'd have enough money where you wouldn't have to raise the millage rate. Because nobody signals in this town, and it's just a form of courtesy.
Right. It's the law.
Thank you.
I think the mayor had one thing, and I've got one. We'll let you go.
Yeah, we're all in this together. We understand. We all have residences. We all live here. We understand. And we feel the burden. We feel the insurance burden coming down, too, with all our employees. And as the city manager talked about, we're 161 employees less than we were 2 years ago. So we appreciate you coming down here. You know, we'll see. Hopefully we see more people in Marshall. We can really talk and vet about a lot of the things like Councilman Owen talked about that are really important.
You know, I was apathetic up until about 2 years ago.
Well, I do want to touch on something, too, and Councilman Owens kind of talked about is information. We can't just go out and write tickets to raise revenue. We get about $2 per ticket. So that $150 fine you get for a moving violation, about $2 out of each ticket, if I'm correct, Chief, $2 comes back to the city of Ocala. All the rest goes up to Tallahassee. So all those other legislators, talk to them about that. And what we have to use that money for is we have to allocate that money for training. So this myth, this urban legend that it's a revenue generator, is not. And, you know, it's a lot of the things out there is go and get, understand what's really happening. Understand, you know, like a city manager talked about, the government finance is a different beast. And so being involved, understanding how things are, how the revenues are coming in and where they're being allocated, because we have enterprise funds and we have a general fund, which helps go for the employees and for the police and fire and those things. It's really good. I don't know if you also know we have a Citizens Academy, which we put on each year. And we have people go around and go all around the city, understand all the different operations in the city. And it might be good to maybe have a couple people from your group to participate in that so they can understand some more things, give feedback both ways, understand what's happening in the city, how the city's providing services. Because, you know, I love living in Ocala. I've been here for 35 years. And you know, I don't want to pay more in taxes than anybody else. Nobody wants to, but we want to have a real nice place that we can live. So, but we appreciate the input, so we'll hope to look forward to seeing you in the spring.
Okay.
And just one last thing, and I understand your position, and we're all tired of reading the news that everything's bad, and, you know, and it is. We all get that. I'm reminded of a story back in the 80s when Denver was trying to get the Olympics, and the country was in a recession. Denver's attitude was, the country's in a recession, however, Denver's decided not to participate. And they ended up getting, you know, the Olympics there. mean, that's my attitude. The country's in a recession, the state's in a recession. However, Ocala's decided not to participate. I don't want to participate in the recession anymore. You know, we need to have a positive attitude. Every time you open up the paper, it's negative, 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 negative. And there's so many good things happening in the city no one ever hears about. So that's my attitude. I'm going to stop participating in the recession.
Maybe you could write articles to talk about the passage of inflation.
Sure. Well, we might do that. But I appreciate your interest, and I did respond to Sam's email today. I know he had to go to an event where an educator was being honored that he had to go to.
So. He's very passionate guy.
Absolutely, he is. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck with your daughter in med school.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any other folks that want to speak? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Carolyn Senek. I live at 4626 Northeast 14th Place in Ocala. And my comments are about the red light cameras. Is it appropriate to do that now, or should I wait till later?
I'll just let me tell you, we're going to actually bring it up, and you can speak at it then. Or Councilman Priester's not here tonight. He's in the hospital. So the mayor might just pull it off, and we might move it 2 weeks from then.
When the ordinance is going to be second and final reading is tonight, I think.
Tonight.
Do that. The thing that matters, I think, ultimately to council is the contract, whether we go forward with it or not. I think we are going to pull that from the agenda.
Okay.
So the second final reading is coming right up here.
Right.
Ordinance, so.
See, Mike.
Okay, should I wait till later?
If you'd like.
Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, anyone else like to speak in front of council? All right, thank you. All right, next is item 5, public hearings, proof case number 44448 for an alcoholic beverage location permit for on-premise consumption and on-premise consumption outside an enclosed building for Owl's Eyes Incorporated, doing business as Hooters of Ocala, located at 3451 Southwest College Road, and presentation by Mr. Zobler.
Thank you, Mr. President. John Zobler, Assistant City Manager. Hooters of Ocala is requesting a new permit to add liquor to their beer and wine permit. The new permit is also requested to include the restaurant's outside porch area. The property is in compliance, and staff recommends your approval.
Okay. All right. Any discussion from the audience on this item? The applicant here? You don't need to say anything if you don't want. Okay. All right. Back to council. Any discussion?
Move for approval.
Motion by Councilman Owen for approval. Second.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Heinbuckle. Call the roll.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Ms. Heinbuckle?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye. All right. Next on the agenda is item B, approved case number 42682 for an alcoholic beverage location permit for on-premise consumption and on-premise consumption outside an enclosed building for Sushi Bistro of Ocala, doing business as Sushi Bistro, located at 18 Southeast Broadway, and presentation by Mr. Zober.
Thank you. Sushi Bistro of Ocala is requesting to amend their permit to add beer and wine sales to their outdoor cafe area, which is two small tables on the sidewalk.
All right. Is the applicant here?
Yes.
Would you like to speak, or you don't have to if you don't want? Okay. Any discussion by council? All right, have a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Owen, second by Councilwoman Heinbuckle. Call the roll.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Ms. Heinbuckle?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye. All right, next is item C, open a public hearing on Chapter 163 Development Agreement to address permitted uses within 3.48 acres of property zoned M3 heavy industrial, located at the 3600 block of Southwest 74th Avenue. It's case number DMA10-0003. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. Presentation by Mr. Zobler.
Thank you. We're requesting to open up the first of two public hearings to hear any comments concerning this proposed developers agreement. This 3.4-acre site was annexed into the city on May 4th of this year to eliminate an enclave. The property is currently utilized as a concrete batch plant and has a county zoning of M2. In order to not cause the plant to have a non-conforming use, we would like to designate it as an M3 heavy industrial. The development agreement is needed to define the permitted use on the property. Number one, to grandfather it in as a concrete batch plant, but the developer agreement also calls for uses that would not be permitted in the future for this site, which include bulk storage of hazardous waste, an industrial dry cleaning plant, outdoor manufacturing, and a recycling plant. The owner is in agreement with these permitted uses and prohibited uses, and again, we just want to open up the first public hearing.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone here in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Counsel? All right, I have a motion by Councilwoman Rich.
Do we take action on this?
First public hearing.
First public hearing, okay, I'm sorry. All right. Okay. All right. And next is second and final reading of ordinances. The mayor, what do you want to do on this?
Pat, explain to me, this is the ordinance, and then we have the contract later?
Right, this, we'd like to pull the contract, because the contract really will be whether or not you go forward with a red light cam or not. We originally passed an ordinance, council did pass an ordinance authorizing a red light camera program, and we never went out to contract with that because similar ordinances were being challenged around the state of Florida. People were suing them, so we waited to see what was the result of those lawsuits. While those lawsuits were pending, the state legislature adopted their own state statute, and they preempted the legislative field in this area, but they did say, if you desire to have a red light camera program, you can do it within the confines of the statute. So essentially, our ordinance was worthless at that point in time. This ordinance is really just the ordinance that's allowed now by the state statute. If council desires to pass this ordinance, it does not mean you will have a red light ordinance program. It simply means you have done what the state statute says you need to do if you choose to implement one later on. The implementation will be done through contracting with the vendor to actually provide the cameras. I guess in theory, if you had the ordinance, OPD could go buy their own cameras and do it, but my understanding is that's not going to happen because we don't have the ability to do that on our own. So the contract with ATS to implement what you can now do under the statute and now do under the by ordinance will come up later tonight, and we're going to ask to pull that because Mr. Priester is not here.
Well, I guess my point would be, why wouldn't we pull this if there's not a majority of council that wants these cameras? What's the point in passing this ordinance, and what's the point in dealing with contractor?
If you have the ordinance, doesn't mean you're going to have a red light camera program. It just means you have the ability today, tomorrow, or never to have one. Doesn't mean you're going to do it. It just means you have the authority to do it.
Don't you think it'd be wise to have a full council here to...
That's y'all's call about the wisdom. My thinking, I'm not going to advise you on the wisdom of your individual votes. My thinking was is that if a majority of council did not want a red light camera ordinance, the more effective place to express that desire would be about actually contracting to have it. If you don't contract to have it, like I said, I guess in theory OPD can go buy their own cameras and do it, but that's not going to happen because they don't have the true enough ability to do it. We have to get a vendor to come in and do it for us. So
but if there's no ordinance that allows them to, even OPD, to go out and buy the cameras and do it themselves, and that's what I'm trying to obviously
make. No ordinance, true enough, no ordinance, you will not be doing it.
Okay. Mr. President, if I may, I think we should, I would ask that you probably table this until we get a full council to the next meeting. Allow
Mr.
full discussion.
Okay.
Y'all aren't feeling lucky. We just get rid of Parks and Rec, and you'd have some money for cameras.
We do need one of our cameras. All right. So would the proper thing to be to table it, not postpone it?
Second and final reading.
Do I need a motion?
You have full counsel.
Do I need a motion to table it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So moved.
I have a motion by Councilman Owen to table this item for the red light cameras. Second by Councilwoman Ritt. Any comments from the audience on this item? Back to council. Call the roll.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Quinn?
Aye. So 2 weeks from tonight, we'll hear this again.
19th.
Is that correct?
Because it is on the agenda, the contract's on the agenda and the public later on at the very end, so you might want to, might suggest the council, you might want to go ahead and pull that now to table it so they know nothing's going to be discussed tonight.
Okay.
That's item 10D, as I'm calling.
It's item 10D, City Manager.
Mr. President, I move that item 10D be tabled to the October 19th meeting.
All right. I have a motion that item 10D be tabled until next council meeting. Have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Heimbuckle. Any comments from the audience on this item? Back to council. Call the roll.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Quinn?
Aye. All right. So, ma'am, that'll be the next council meeting. We'll talk about this. All right. Next is item 7, which is the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that anyone would like pulled? Councilman Rich? No, Daniel?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Okay. All right.
Move for approval, consent agenda.
All right. I have a motion for approval for the consent agenda. Second by?
Second.
Second by Councilman Heimbuckle. Any comments from the audience on this item? Back to council. Call the roll.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Quinn?
Aye. All right. Next is item 9, which is introduction, first reading of ordinances. An introduction of resolutions. The second and final reading will be October 19th, 2010. First is item A, introduce ordinance 2010-86 to rezone from B2 community business to B4 general business for 0.30 acres of property located at 2037 South Pine Avenue. It's case number ZON10-0022. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval.
I'll introduce.
Introduced by Councilman Owen.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from B2 community business to B4 general business for certain property located at 2037 South Pine Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON10-0022, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right. Next is item B, which is introduce ordinance 2010-87 to amend the future land use designation from commercial and medium density residential county to neighborhood business city for 0.97 acres of property located at 5821 West Highway 40. It's case number LUC09-0012. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. Introduced by Councilwoman Heimbuckle.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala for the comprehensive plan is required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change, case number LUC09-0012, involved to amend the future land use map series from commercial and medium density residential county to neighborhood business city for property located at 5821 West Highway 40, Ocala, Florida, providing severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item C, introduced ordinance 2010-88 to rezone from B2 community business and R2 one and two family dwelling county to B1 neighborhood business city for 0.97 acres of property located at 5821 West Highway 40. It's case number ZON09-0012. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. It's introduced by
Rich.
Councilwoman Rich.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from B2 community business and R2 one- and two-family dwelling county to B1 neighborhood business for certain property located at 5821 West Highway 40, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON09-0012, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item D, introduce ordinance 2010-89 to amend the future land use designation for medium-density residential county and low-density residential city for 9.82 acres of property located at 3751 Southeast 3rd Avenue. It's case number LUC10-0013. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida comprehensive plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change case number LUC10-0013. Involved in to amend the future land use map series from medium-density residential county to low-density residential city for property located at 3751 Southeast 3rd Avenue, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Madam Clerk, just noted an error here on item B. It says, on mine that I've got that you gave me, it says introduce ordinance 2010-87. On this pink copy, it says introduce ordinance 2011-2.
Yes, that was the one you have. You received Friday. There was corrections made.
This is the right
Friday.
One?
Yes, the pink is the correct one.
Go to the pink one.
Okay.
Okay, pass that.
So, Daniel, is this your copy?
No, it's just down. I got one. Here's got one.
So I need to reread that. Is that correct?
No.
Do you need to reread the previous one?
Since I read it in the record wrong?
No, I don't think. Do you need to reread it?
No.
I read the title.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you're good.
Okay.
Correct me.
Is it okay?
Yes.
Do I need to reread the title?
No, I read the title. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What are we on, E?
Yeah, I'm on E. Okay.
Was that the only one that was wrong on there? Is the rest of them okay?
They're all different.
They're all changed? Mm-hmm.
The pink copy is the correct one.
Let me have that white one.
I got notes on that one.
All right.
Here.
All right. So which item are we on now?
E.
9E? Mm-hmm. All right. Next is 9E, introduce ordinance 2011-5 to rezone from R1 single family dwelling county to R1 single family residential city for 9.82 acres of property located at 3751 Southeast 3rd Avenue. It's case number ZON10-0014. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave unanimous approval. It's introduced by Councilwoman Heinbuckle.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from R1 single-family dwelling county to R1 single-family residential city for certain property located at 3751 Southeast 3rd Avenue, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON10-0014, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Okay, next is item 9. F. Bear with me. Introduce ordinance 2011-6 to amend the future land use designation from low density residential county to medium density residential city for 0.59 acres of property located at 2321 and 2331 Southwest 3rd Avenue. It's case number LUC10-0014. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. Introduced by
Rich.
Introduced by Councilwoman Rich.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida comprehensive plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change case number LUC10-0014. Involved in to amend the future land use map series from low density residential county to medium density residential city for property located at 2321 and 2331 Southwest 3rd Avenue, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of complaint ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right. Next is item G, introduce ordinance 2011-7 to rezone from M1 Light Industrial County to R3 Multifamily Residential City for 0.59 acres of property located at 2321 and 2331 Southwest 3rd Avenue. It's case number ZON10-0015. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. It's introduced by Councilman Owen.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the city of Ocala, Florida, changing from M1 Light Industrial County, R3 Multifamily Residential City, for certain property located at 2321 and 2331 Southwest 3rd Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON10-0015, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right. Next is item H, introduce ordinance 2011-8 to amend the future land use designation from commercial county to professional services city for 0.37 acres of property located at 4065 Southwest 40th Street. It's case number LUC10-0015. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. It's introduced by Councilwoman Heinbuckle.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida comprehensive plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change case number LUC10-0015 involved in to amend the future land use map series from commercial county to professional services city property located at 4065 Southwest 40th Street, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item I, introduce ordinance 2011-9 to rezone from B2 Community Business County to OP Office Park City for 0.37 acres of property located at 4065 Southwest 40th Street. It's case number ZON10-0016, Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010. Gave it unanimous approval. It's introduced by
Rich.
Councilwoman Rich.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from B2 Community Business County to OP Office Park for certain property located at 4065 Southwest 40th Street, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON10-0016, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item J, introduce ordinance 2011-10 to amend the future land use designation from industrial and low-density residential county to light industrial public buildings and facilities city for 7.3 acres of property located in the 3200 block to 3300 block of Southwest 60th Avenue. It's case number LUC10-0016. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. Introduced by Heinbuckle.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida comprehensive plan is required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statute detailing the land use change case number LUC10-0016. Involved in to amend the future land use map series from industrial and low density residential county, light industrial and public buildings and facilities city for property located in the 3200 to 3300 block of Southwest 60th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item K, introduce ordinance 2011-11 to rezone from M1 light industrial and A1 General Agricultural County to M1 Light Industrial and GU Governmental Use City for 7.3 acres of property located in the 32 to 3300 block of Southwest 60th Avenue. It's case number ZON10-0017. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. It's introduced by Councilwoman Rich.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the city of Ocala, Florida, changing from M1 Light Industrial and A1 General Agriculture County to M1 Light Industrial and GU Governmental Use City for certain property located in the 3200 to 3300 block of Southwest 60th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON 10-0017, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right. Next is item K, introduce ordinance 2011-11 to rezone from M1 Light Industrial and A1 General Agricultural to M1 Light Industrial and GU Governmental Use City for 7.3 acres of property located in the 3300 block of Southwest 60th Avenue. Case number ZON 10-0017. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. Introduced by Councilwoman Heinbachel.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in Section 163.3161 through and including Section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change, case number LUC 10-0017, involved in to amend the future land use map series from industrial county to medium industrial and heavy industrial city for property located in the 3600 block of Southwest 74th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Okay, next is item L, introduce ordinance 2011-12 to amend the future land use designation from industrial county to medium industrial and heavy industrial city for 6.2 acres of property located in the 3600 block of Southwest 74th Avenue.
Mr. Gwynn, we're on item M, I believe.
Pardon me?
Yes,
M.
Okay.
Correct, Madam Clerk.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right. Next is item M, introduce ordinance 2011-13 to rezone from M2 Heavy Industrial County to M2 medium Industrial and M3 Heavy Industrial City for 6.2 acres of property located in the 3600 block of Southwest 74th Avenue. It's case number ZON 10-0018. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave unanimous approval. Introduced by
Rich.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changed from M2 Heavy Industrial County to M2 Medium Industrial and M3 Heavy Industrial for certain property located in 3600 block of Southwest 74th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON 10-0018, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Right. Next is item N. Introduce ordinance 2011-14 to amend the future land use designation from low-density residential county to light industrial city for 0.91 acres of property located at 4909 West Highway 40. It's case number LUC 10-0018. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. It's introduced by Councilwoman Heinbachel.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in Section 163.3161 through and including Section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change, case number LUC 10-0018, involved in to amend the future land use map series from low density residential county to light industrial city for property located at 4909 West Highway 40, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Okay. Next is item O. Introduce ordinance 2011-15 to rezone from A1 General Agricultural County to M1 Light Industrial City for 0.91 acres of property located at 4909 West Highway 40. It's case number ZON 10-0019. Kella Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. Introduced by Councilwoman Rich.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from A1 General Agriculture County to M1 Light Industrial City for certain property located at 4909 West Highway 40, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON 10-0019, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item P, introduce ordinance 2011-16 to amend the future land use designation for medium-density residential to retail services for 0.25 acres of property located at 2444 Northeast Third Street, case number LUC 10-0019. Calhoun Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave unanimous approval. It's introduced by Councilwoman Hagenbaugh. Going to have a lot of
I know. We did a lot of reading this week.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change, case number LUC 10-0019, involved into amend the future land use map series from medium density residential to retail services for property located at 2444 Northeast Third Street, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Okay. Next is item Q, introduce ordinance 2011-17 to rezone from RO residential office to B2 community business for 0.25 acres of property located at 2444 Northeast Third Street. It's case number ZON 10-0020. Calhoun Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. It's introduced by Councilwoman Heinbockel.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from RO residential office to B2 community business for certain property located at 2444 Northeast 3rd Street, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON 10-0020, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item R, introduce ordinance 2011-18 to amend the future land use designation from industrial county to retail services city for 4.31 acres of property located in the 3600 block of Southeast Mary Camp Road, case number LUC 10-0022. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval.
Owen.
Introduced by Councilman Owen.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change, case number LUC 10-0022, involved into amend the future land use map series from industrial county to retail services city for property located in the 36th block of Southeast American Road, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Okay, next is item S, introduce ordinance 2011-19 to rezone from M1 Light Industrial County to B2 Community Business City for 4.31 acres of property located in the 3600 block of Southeast Mary Camp Road. It's case number ZON 10-0024. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval.
Owen.
Introduced by Councilman Owen.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from M1 Light Industrial County to B2 Community Business City for certain property located in the 3600 block of Southeast Mary Kemp Road, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON 10-0024. Provided for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Right. Next is item U, introduce ordinance 2011-21 to rezone.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
I'm sorry.
T.
Pardon me?
Next one is T.
Okay, I'm sorry. I marked T off. I'm sorry. Introduce ordinance 2011-20 to amend the future land use designation for medium-density residential to retail services for 0.24 acres of property located in the 200 block of Northwest 4th Terrace. It's case number LUC 10-0023. Cala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. It's introduced by Councilwoman Rich.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statute detailing the land use change, case number LUC 10-0023, involved into amend the future land use map series from medium density residential to retail services for property located in the 200 block of Northwest 4th Terrace, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the Republican ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right. Now, item U. Introduce ordinance 2011-21, rezone R3 multifamily residential to B4 general business for 0.24 acres of property located in the 200 block of Northwest 4th Terrace, case number ZON 10-0025, Ocala Planning Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave it unanimous approval. Introduced by Councilwoman Heinbockel.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from R3 multifamily residential to B4 general business for certain property located in the 200 block of Northwest 4th Terrace, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON 10-0025, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item V. Introduce ordinance 2011-22 to amend the future land use designation from professional services to neighborhood business for 0.50 acres of property located at 821 Southeast 16th Place. It's case number LUC 10-0024. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave unanimous approval. Introduced by
Owen.
Introduced by Councilman Owen.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida comprehensive plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.245 Florida statutes, detailing the land use change case number LUC 10-0024, involved in to amend the future land use map series from professional services to neighborhood business for property located at 821 Southeast 16th Place, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right. Next is item W. Introduce ordinance 2011-23 to rezone from RO residential office to B1 neighborhood business for 0.50 acres of property located at 821 Southeast 16th Place. It's case number ZON 10-0026. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 9/13/2010 gave unanimous approval. It's introduced by
Rich.
Introduced by Councilwoman Rich.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from RO residential office to B1 neighborhood business for certain property located at 821 Southeast 16th Place, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON 10-0026. Providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item X. Introduce ordinance 2011-24 to amend the future land use designation from commercial county to retail services city for approximately 11.61 acres located at 4850 South Pine Avenue. It's case number LUC 10-0005. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 6/14/2010 gave unanimous approval. Introduced by Councilwoman Heinbockel.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida comprehensive plan as required in sections 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes, detailing the land use change involved and to amend the future land use map from commercial county to retail services city, case number LUC 10-0005, for property located at 4850 South Pine Avenue, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right. Next is item Y. Introduce ordinance 2011-25, rezone B4 regional business and B5 heavy business county to B4 general business city. Approximately 11.61 acres, located at 4850 South Pine. It's case number ZON 10-0006. Ocala Planning and Zoning Commission on 6/14/2010 gave unanimous approval. Introduced by Councilwoman Rich.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from B1 regional business and B5 heavy business county to B4 general business city for certain property located at 4850 South Pine Avenue, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON10-0006, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item Z, introduced ordinance 2011-26 to amend the future land use designation from low-density residential to medium-density residential for approximately 1.23 acres located at 1541 Southeast 17th Street. It's case number LUC09-0018. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 2-8-2010 gave it unanimous approval.
Owen.
Introduced by Councilman Owen.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in Section 163.3161 through and including Section 163.3245 Florida Statute, detailing the land use change, case number LUC09-0018, involving to amend the future land use map series from low density residential to medium density residential for property located at 1541 Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item AA, introduced ordinance 2011-27 to rezone from R1 single family residential to RO residential office for approximately 1.23 acres located at 1541 Southeast 17th Street. It's case number ZON09-0021. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 2-8-2010 gave it unanimous approval.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from R1 single-family residential to RO residential office for certain property located at 1541 Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON09-0021, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Next is item BB, introduced ordinance 2011-28 to amend the future land use designation from low density residential to professional services for 1.43 acres of property located in the 2100 block of Southeast 17th Street. It's case number LUC10-0020. Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9-13-2010 recommended for approval by a vote of 3-2. Introduced by Rich.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in Section 163.3161 through and including Section 163.3245 Florida Statutes, detailing the land use change, case number LUC10-0020, involving to amend the future land use map series from low density residential to professional services for property located in the 2100 block of Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item CC, introduce ordinance 2011-29 to rezone from R1 single family residential to RO residential office for 1.43 acres of property located in the 2100 block of Southeast 17th Street. Case ZON10-0021, Cal Planning and Zoning Commission on 9-13-2010. Recommended denial of the requested rezoning to O1 office and approval for rezoning to RO residential by a vote of 3-2. Introduced by
Owen.
Introduced by Councilman Owen.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from R1 single family residential to O1 office for certain property located in the 2100 block of Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON10-0021, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Right, next is item DD, introduced ordinance 2011-30 to amend Article 2, Airport Advisory Board, Section 18-31, membership criteria, term, size, and section, 1832, powers, duties, and involvement. Introduced by Councilwoman Heyenbachel.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning the Airport Advisory Board, amending Section 18-31 concerning the establishment, membership criteria, terms and size, amending Section 18-32 concerning the powers, duties, and involvement, providing for some repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
All right, next is item EE, introduce ordinance 2011-31 concerning water and sewer impact fees. Introduced by? Introduced by Councilman Rich.
You're actually introducing the one at your desk. It's got the same title, but it's at your desk. It's not the one.
Is it different?
The title's the same.
The title's the same.
The verbiage is a little bit different than the one that was in your agenda package.
Do I need to reread this?
That's sort of
the okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
It was Rich. That was introduced by
Rich.
An ordinance of the State of Ocala, Florida concerning impact fees, amending section 70-501, providing for definitions by revising the definition of equivalent single-family residential unit, ERU, amending subsection 70-502, providing for the imposition of impact fees, amending section 70-503, providing for sewer impact fee to be related to strength of sewage, amending section 70-505, providing for change in use of property, amending section 70-509, providing for exemptions and credits, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing an effective date.
Sorry.
All right. item FF, introduce budget resolution 2011-100. Amending fiscal year 2011 budget to accept and appropriate the Florida Department of Transportation FDOT DUI Suppression Program Grant. Introduced by Councilwoman Heinbach.
Nothing to read.
Okay. All right, item GG. Introduced budget resolution 2011-101, amending fiscal year 2011 budget to accept and appropriate a Victims of Crime Act BOCA grant from the State of Florida Office of Attorney General to fund one full-time victim witness advocate position.
Rich.
Introduced by Councilwoman Rich. Nothing to read. All right. Item HH. Introduced budget resolution 2011-102, hurricane relief reimbursement, introduced by
Owen.
Introduced by Councilman Owen. All right, item 10A, the business, approve and award the lump sum bid for the replacement of the Ocala Union train station historic canopy to slack construction in the amount of $163,253 and presentation by Mr. Phillips.
Bruce Phillips, Assistant City Manager, Public Services. I'll recall about a year ago we had to remove the canopy on the train station due to a problem with the offset from the center line of the tracks being too close and some issues there. We've worked with DOT. DOT has funded the project. We put the plans together and we bid the project. Facilities will be inspecting it. We ended up with five bidders. The low bidder did not submit a bid bond, so we're going to the second bidder, which is Slack Construction. It is a lump sum bid, $163,253. It is a design build, so they will design it, get it approved through the state SHPO office, and then reconstruct it. We recommend your approval.
Bruce, at one point in time, wasn't that about $400,000 to rebuild that?
That's how much we got from DOT based on the estimates that we had. I actually estimated it about $250,000, and DOT upped it to $400,000.
Okay. What do we do with the difference?
We'll give it back to them.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any comments from the audience on this item? Back to council. Call the roll.
Need a motion.
Pardon me?
Need a motion.
Motion.
Motion by Councilwoman Rich, second by Councilwoman Heinbuckle.
Okay. Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Ms. Heinbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Mr. Gray?
Aye. Okay, next is item B, approve staff's recommendation to reject the bid for trapping of Muscovy duck on city property submitted by Owls Incorporated, presentation by Bruce Phillips.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think y'all are all familiar with the problem we've had with the Muscovy ducks and what's taken place. We put out for a request for proposals for removal of all Muscovy ducks from city property. We put it out to about 35 different trappers in the state. We only got one response. That was from Owls Incorporated. They did not submit the information that was required by the bid documents. Their bid was for us to give them a bucket truck with a 75-foot boom, a net gun, then a donation of $20 per duck. This amounts to our estimation of about $93,000 up front, because we would have to purchase a used boom truck at $91,000 and a net gun at $2,000. This far exceeds what we can do. We recommend that we reject this bid, either go back out for bids again or use our duck brigade to go around and check for eggs and destroy the eggs and keep the duck population as to where it is, or we still have the contract with the USDA to capture and euthanize the ducks.
Okay. All right. Anyone from the audience like to speak on this?
I figure you might want to say something.
Oh, yes, sir. Keith Palau, president of Owls Ocala Inc., 2020 Southwest 5th Avenue, South Florida. First off, this bucket truck, the reason we're asking for it, it was committed to us last year. After we started Tuscarora Park, it was committed to us for a donation, because they did ask us to go to Thomas Park, 17th Street, Nature Park. We collected over 400 ducks. Near the end of our collection, when we were down to about three dozen ducks throughout the city, we were approached, said this truck was not given to us because John Zobler indicated that it was $7,500 and it was too much to donate to our organization for 3.5 months worth of work. Now, council members asked last time we were up here if there was going to be any surplus vehicles from the city of Ocala. It was indicated that there was. That's why we asked for this bucket truck. It is for rescue federal birds. Now, the city employees obviously hasn't any attempts to actually work with us. Randy is one of the very few people who actually called us back and got back with us with a lot of our concerns, and including issues that the city should be very, very embarrassed about by allowing native species that are endangered to get entangled with fish line, no care for whatsoever for these animals. Now, partly with this bid, they asked us to provide workman's compensation. We're 100% volunteer, nonprofit organization. Would you like us to bill you $60,000 for the insurance right up front, and then along with anything else? The $20 fee, what we last year came up with is, if this truck was donated to us, we would provide the services for Willow Park for 1 year free of any removal of Muscovy ducks. Any other park, it was up in discussion. Now, what we presented back, the reason we asked for the net gun last year when we started this, City of Ocala Julie Johnson's Park and Recreation had one sitting on her desk, refused to allow us to use it for a month and a half while we were doing this. Sent it back for a refund, and lo and behold, they get a dog for City of Ocala. Stays at the park ranger's, taxpayers, park ranger's house while the taxpayers are paying for the medical, the food, toys, and everything else for this dog. Is it more important to provide for one dog versus all of the animals that's on the city? We need this net gun for such things as I brought to Randy's attention. There's a wood stork down at the city park, Tuscarora Park, that is entangled and has a lure stuck in his mouth. This net gun would provide perfect for this situation. This was created because the city council members allow people to fish at a retention pond area that's a contaminated area. What happened is this bird was being imprinted by people throwing fish over to it. It caught a lure and got stuck into it. There's pond wrens. There's all kinds besides ducks and everything else that can benefit. It's not for our organization. Again, we're a volunteer organization. When it was indicated that there is going to be trucks pulled offline that would be sold out, to us that's perfect. Rather taking a taxpayer's money and actually paying us, it would be a product that would serve the community and the animals in itself. And to come up with $93,000, that's just bizarre. You can buy one of these off of any lot for $10,000. And with the city indicating that they had one, that's why we went to this approach.
All right. I mean, what kind of truck is this we're talking about? I mean, it's gone.
The bucket truck.
No, 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 I'm talking to city manager. It was $7,500 truck, now it's $93,000, and these net and all this stuff. I mean, this is rocket science. This is just shoot a net over a duck, get a duck.
Well, as far as the net gun goes, it's my understanding this was a gun that was rented by the staff, not purchased, rented for a period of time to see if it would serve the needs, and it did not. As far as the bucket truck goes, I don't know anyone who that what Mr. Zobler said was he wasn't comfortable in bringing that forward to the city council because only the city council can surplus the equipment. In addition to all of that, I recall when we talked about going out for proposals that we had a comment that said that $20 a duck, period, was what was given at that meeting at that time. You know, I would think $93,000 seems to be awfully high to me, but whatever we surplus our trucks for, we do surplus them, and those dollars do go back into our replacement funds for whatever the market will bear on those particular situations.
Why do you need a bucket truck to catch a duck?
No, sir. What that was?
We're told that he needs a bucket truck because he uses it to plant poles, set up netting, because as the ducks are transported, they have to make sure that they stay home, and the netting is to help keep the ducks in the enclosed area.
Excuse me.
All right.
I don't know where they got this from, but what the bucket truck was is after last year when we started with Tuscarora Park, the city told us that there was 200 ducks at Tuscarora. When we started in there, they asked us to continue at 17th Street Duck Pond, Nature Park, the Heritage of Collins Park, 14th Street. And with this, they said that this was a surplus item when I asked Julie Johnson about, you know, listen, we agreed to Tuscarora Park. Now, it took 3.5 months for us to actually capture 400 bucks. And during that time, originally after they said, we would like you to take out of these other parks, that's when I spoke to them about providing some type of funding for our work and our efforts. You don't go out for 3.5 months every single day working for free, especially when it's to benefit the environment around you. I mean, I guarantee
they're that working almost 11 years for free doing this.
Well, yeah. But the simple fact is, in the $20 fee, what it was is the bucket truck and the net gun was covered at Tuscarora Park. $20 fee was any other park that we had to go to after about. Because when you consider medical, gas, everything else, food, it costs more than $20 to go out and trap a duck.
I know, but you told us that you'd do it for $20. So you're making this way, way too complicated. I mean, this has just gotten to be, you know, too much.
How is it complicated?
You've gone through trucks and nets and, you know.
Sir, working. I worked for that, that donation of that truck. And the truth is after that.
Just hold on. Just hold on for a minute. Hold on a minute. What are the three choices again?
Well, beforehand, I do want to record that we did make a donation to his organization of, I believe it was $1,000, if not $2,000 last year. That's 500 ducks at 20 bucks. Right. I mentioned catching 400. Right. My opinion, the choices are whatever the price of a truck is, to give them the truck and the gun, which even if it's $10,000, in my opinion, it's too much.
Okay,
secondly, to continue to just do what we can in-house with the egg control and so forth, and allow the population to just control it the best we can. And choice three is continue the same contract we had with the fish and wildlife.
How many ducks do we, Muscovy ducks, do we think there are?
I don't think there's that many at present.
And we would be more than willing to help to maintain, because if you would see in our contract we presented to them, we asked for a certain number to stay there on premises, and we would maintain that simply for the fact of the public. You are asking about Envision, City of Ocala Envision. The community has spoken up. They said they want a few ducks at these parks, and we would be more than willing. We have volunteers that would go out and shake the eggs for the ducks. But the thing is they want to euthanize, plain and simple. And also, I understand, you know, when there's a health concern or if there's an issue, but then when they're asking to trap them from a golf course, tell me where there's a health concern. Do you have a picnic table on a golf course that you have to worry about little droppings from a duck? So it is somebody's personal agenda to remove these ducks, plain and simple.
Cart pass its bike.
Yeah. You ever eaten lunch out of the cart, Daniel? A couple of times, right?
A few times.
All right, Mayor.
Rick, a couple questions. The workman's comp We require that. Is that pretty much standard for all bond or all bids?
We got to protect the city for anyone that does work. That's why we have certain requirements that we posted in the bid for any bidder to submit that they have evidence of.
Excuse me, may I say?
Sure.
This might be funny. Last year, 3.5 months working for the city of Ocala collecting them, none of this was required. Not a single thing. Not the liability insurance, not the workman's comp, not the automotive insurance. For 3.5 months.
If I may, Council, there's a difference between a volunteer group coming out and working
right.
and a donation being made and hiring under a bid process for a contractor
right.
to come in.
Absolutely.
State law does precede that.
Sure.
Okay. One more question, if I may. Yeah. Any reason why we sent out to 35 people and we got one back? Do we get any information why we didn't have anybody else, why they didn't bid?
I don't know if you own the federally licensed facilities in this district.
No, sir. We just didn't get any more responses. This was the only one that came in.
So they didn't indicate why?
No.
Okay.
I might offer a fourth option from the three listed, and that is to continue the volunteer services and continue to make a donation of 20 or 30, whatever dollars per duck, whatever the appropriate amount is to cover the cost.
May I make one other
sure.
statement? You know, after this fact that we understood that the bid was not being accepted, City of Ocala Parks and Recreation still called us up, asked us to go out and rescue the duck that was injured on the property. Even after the fact, they're denying us because of the workman's comp. They're asking us to go out there. And I refuse to be, my organization to be used like that. And that's exactly what I feel, is that we're being abused. When we're trying to be there for the animals, trying to make a good deed out of this for the community, and this is the way we're treated. You know, I mean, I know of no nonprofit organization that is an all-volunteer base that has workman's comp, that has all of this other requirements.
Well, when you respond to an RFP and you're hired to do work right. for us, if you were to get killed or injured or something while you're doing that, yes, you have to have some type of liability insurance or workman's
well,
comp. If you're a volunteer and you're volunteering to do that, it's a different, like the city manager says.
That's why I suggest a fourth option consideration to continue to do it on a volunteer basis.
Right.
If $20 doesn't cover the cost, what does? $25, $30, what is the price that would cover the cost of actually doing
right.
it and continue the function of that pattern?
Right.
Right. And yeah. you know, that's something that we can agree upon, too.
I mean,
doing it as a volunteer situation. My whole thing is I was born and raised in this community.
Right.
I remember 17th Street as being referred to as the Duck Pond. Raised with good quality, good citizens around. To take that out, I don't think it's appropriate. You know, these children around here deserve the same respect and setting as what I had when growing up. And that's why I do this. I do free education programs for federal. I do. This is all based for our community. Not for myself. I don't benefit out of it, no way, shape, or form.
Okay.
And yes, we would be more than willing to work in that sense. And we weren't the ones who asked to bid out. We were forced into bidding out because we were happy with volunteering the way we were in the first place.
Yes.
And you know, to succeed at hitting 400 bucks, I agree there was an issue, there was a major problem. And there was also where these ducks are being taken to, a question about that. Well, I'm sure all of you are very familiar with Robert's Border Horses, and that's the farm that these horses are going to, these ducks are going to.
Okay.
So I'd
recommend that you throw out the bid and that you allow staff to work with OWLS on a volunteer basis, and we'll work with them on the appropriate
okay.
price per duck within the guidelines
okay.
of our current budget parameters.
All right. Should we have them? We need a motion for that. Councilman,
go ahead. In the memo that's here attached to the item, there's a note that says that OWLS, in your bid, there was not written documentation that local, state, and federal laws and control orders would be met.
Yeah.
That's a concern to me if we're not following the state and federal regulations.
Federal license permit right here.
Okay.
That gives me all the authorization to touch anything in anywhere. Federal permit license.
Okay. And there's, as I recall, the policy that we adopted the last time this item came up was there was a federal regulation that was being it was open for consideration. Can somebody talk to that for me?
Well,
I don't remember the details
yeah,
of it, but
essentially what it
what
said
I want
is,
to know is that those processes are going to be followed.
The option that's before you at this time would fulfill the criteria of the policy that was adopted by the council. It left you several options, including some of those I presented in this packet. But the option that we have before you now would fulfill the terms of that agreement, would it not?
That is correct. Okay.
All right. Okay. So he'll get with you and work something out on the council now.
Just need you to quote us the price per duck, if you would, sir.
But again, also one of the other options is that we are completely within the bounds of the law of the United States Department of Agriculture to contract with them.
Contract with them, yes, we are.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
That's for euthanization, yes.
Which is an option, as per the United States Department of Agriculture. Right. Correct?
I would say that was a very poor option to choose when you have another option right in front of you.
But it's an option.
We see how mindset people are. So, I mean, it, just because it's an animal, it doesn't give it any less right than life. And to treat an animal like that, listen, I was, you know, to throw out a chemical to intentionally cause harm to a creature, no matter what it is, I was hit by a drunk driver when I was a kid that caused severe nerve damage. And to do that to an animal intentionally for no purpose whatsoever, you should really be ashamed of yourself. I mean, even suggesting that be done.
That's your opinion. I'm not ashamed of myself.
Well, no, but I've gone through the pain, and
I mean, you've kind of backed like this community in. We've got a situation with feral animals, and the United States government is. I'm talking. If you don't mind,
I'm sorry.
The United States government has a blanket across this country tells community, here's an option of how you can handle this. So we go within the bounds of the law, and you want me to be ashamed of myself for staying within bounds of the law? Sorry.
And
not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I understand.
I'm not going to be ashamed for following the law.
That's not the
and
law.
Then to come in here and sort of blackmail and talk about John Zobler and say I was promised this, and I was promised this, and I was promised this, and da-da-da. And now I tell you who's creating the situation here is you.
Okay.
You're creating... Apparently, I'm still talking. One of the other options for this council is to stay within the bounds of the law, United States Department of Agriculture. That's another option. We want to talk about open and transparent government. That is an option.
Okay. We'd like some definitive direction from the council.
Okay. Well, we've got this item on here to... You approve staff's recommendation to reject it. So we, Pat, we just need to reject that.
Yes, sir.
I will make a motion that the bid be rejected from Owls, Inc.
Okay. I have a motion for rejection by Councilman Owen. Second. And a second.
I have a second.
Okay. Let's go past Daniel Owen. Second. All right. And a second. Any other comments from the audience? You're going to repeat what the other gentleman just said.
Okay, I'm not here to be an echo. I'm here
for my own opinion. That's fine. I just want to speak to y'all and let you know I appreciate you listening to Keith. My name is Kenneth Lane,
right.
2020 Southwest 5th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. I appreciate everybody's input. I just hope you can relate to the story that Mary Rich had written about her roots and growing up, how she had to go to the movie theater and have popcorn being thrown on her because she wasn't like everybody else. Now, these ducks, because they're not native, not from Florida, like myself, they're not like everybody else. Now, not only do you want to throw popcorn on them because maybe you don't like ducks for some reason or another, but not only throwing the popcorn, but you're throwing poisonous popcorn on them. You're trying to kill them. Now, if you want to look good in the eye of the city folks of Ocala that come to the park to enjoy it for their family, you might not want to euthanize them that, in that sense and just allow us to come in and deal with it. And as far as having a 42-page thing that we have to fill out as far as the insurance and going out to your golf course to rescue the ducks out there, I'm sure you personally had input about that being at your golf course. Now, I think, you know, we can go in there and resolve an issue. Removing the ducks, removing the eggs is not a good idea if you guys would work with us and allow us to take the eggs and just shake them so that they don't hatch when you remove the eggs. You're still creating a problem because the mother duck's going to hide those eggs better next time. We can work with the park rangers.
Well, maybe respect, we
since you're going to go, since you're going to relate, if you're going to pull Miss Rich into this and talk about the human factor, why don't you go shake a pregnant mother?
Yeah, don't compare a duck egg to...
You're comparing a duck egg to Mrs. Rich, a human being? Go shake a pregnant mother.
Did you read the story she wrote, how she had to grow up with being segregated? It's the same thing. You were trying to segregate these ducks from the park, and it's not right.
Enough. Okay? We've heard what you had to say. Now we're going to make a decision. All right? Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Wow. Again with the ducks. All right. So I've got a motion and a second to reject this bid. Any other comments from the audience? All right, call the roll.
Mr. Olin?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
No.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye. All right, now let's figure out what we want to do.
Man, I don't want to go with the contract we have because they kill ducks.
Right.
And I don't know how they kill them, but I don't think people in this community would be happy.
My point is, if there's another option other than killing the ducks, let these guys or whoever, you know, take the ducks away and take them somewhere else. I mean, if there's no reason to kill them, there's no reason to kill them. The only time, you know, I'm killing stuff is when I'm shooting it, you know, a deer or dove or whatever, and I eat it. But, you know, I'm not hunting. Or we could have a big duck shoot out there.
We do have two non-kill options on the table.
Pardon me?
We do have two non-kill options on the table.
Okay. Right.
I have not always been familiar with Muscovy ducks, so I have been doing a lot of reading. And if you look on the internet for Muscovy ducks, what you're going to find about them is how to grow them on farms for eating. They're much like chickens. If you go to a restaurant and order duck, the likelihood that you're eating a Muscovy duck is very high, because that is their primary purpose.
Okay.
I don't know what this means. You know, people kill ducks to eat them.
Right. People kill chickens to eat them.
That's exactly right. They are sort of an equivalent to chicken.
Right.
When you're having, you know, people have chickens in their backyard to kill and eat.
Right.
When people have ducks in their backyard, it's probably a Muscovy. They're not here locally. I mean, it's not a native duck. And since the Muscovies have been taken out of our park, we have an increase in the population of native ducks to the park.
Right.
And that has been witnessed by the park personnel. And they can tell you more about the ducks that are there now than I can, because I don't know that much about them personally. But a Muscovy duck would be an equivalent of having chickens running around. I mean, that is their equivalent species.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not sure that we want an overpopulation of that. We've got to get them out of the parks somehow.
Completely agree.
And, you know, I'm not sure what the owls people are doing with the Muscovies, but the other thing that I learned in there is that they are aggressive. And when people keep them in their backyard, in their farms, on their backyard, they have to protect the rabbits and the chickens and all the other small animals from the ducks, because those ducks will go after them.
Right.
They go after children. I mean, that's, you know, sort of the training of how to have Muscovies on your property, is to be careful because they are aggressive.
Right.
And so they do not need to be in the parks one way or the other. We've got to get them out of there. And you know, I guess it's up to us how we want to do that. But the USDA certainly, you know, tells communities that have the same problem, euthanize them.
Right.
That's their recommendation.
Council, if I may recommend that the staff continue to work to shake the eggs or replace eggs with artificial eggs. We try to work with owls on a price per duck, and we evaluate the progress on that, and if we find that neither one of those are maintaining the population control, we'd come back to you at a later date.
That's what my wish would be.
Sure.
I need a motion to that effect.
I move what Rick said.
All right.
to maintain, or work with the eggs and then work with Al's, come up with a price.
Continue doing what they're doing.
Yeah. All right.
And then Al's take them out.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Councilwoman Heinbachel. Any further discussion from the audience this item? Less is more.
No.
Less is more.
All I'm saying is we will work with you, whatever capabilities we have, to make this the good thing for the city citizens and the city locale.
Okay.
We're not here to, but we just want to protect their lives and make it work in a proper way.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
How long before you request something else from this community?
Sir, have I ever requested anything up to this point? You have not given us one single dime besides that. I never requested.
Have you ever requested anything? You requested a bucket truck.
That's for doing a service. That's all.
And then my question is, how long will you sustain this at $20 a duck before you need something else?
Listen, I'm a volunteer. I've been for over 20 years. I still go out for federal and new Eagles whenever they call me, still to this day, free of charge.
Good for you.
And that will be the continuous thing. I am a citizen of City of Ocala, and I will continue to be. And this is part of my life and our environment, and I will continue to help wherever I can, plain and simple.
Thanks for your service.
Can I ask him a question?
Councilwoman Rich.
Do you understand that the bucket truck is off the table?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We're not promising you a
bucket. I understand that. Yes.
We're promising you $20.
I understand that. Yes.
Okay.
And the whole thing has been is we are there to help. If that hadn't been presented to us in the first place, we would never ask for that. I hope you understand that too. We did not initially initiate this about the bucket truck.
Okay.
And if it was said to us and offered to us, that's where it came from.
But it's all paid.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Council, for the record, I think what we agreed to was he had indicated that $20 didn't cover the cost, and he was going to give us a price per duck, and we'd work within our current budget to do that. So it might be $22 or $25, but we'll figure that out as we go forward.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I got a motion and a second. Call the roll, clerk.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Ms. Heinbachel?
Aye.
Mr. Owen?
No.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye. All right. Next is item 10C, approve a cash sponsorship of $2,000, keeping with the approved community sponsorship policy require event organizers to cover city support services of $600, equipment fees and $790, and permitting fees $600, presentation by Bruce Phillips.
Yes, sir. We're all familiar with FAFO and what they do. They have requested this year that we give a cash sponsorship, plus we waive the $600 for equipment fee, the $790, and the permitting fees of $600. Last year they received the $2,000, but also received $1,250 in fee waivers. Our policy states that we can give the $2,000 in cash sponsorships plus $2,000 in fee waivers if it's done on city property. This is not done on city property. As you know, it's on the county property now. Staff's recommending the $2,000 in cash contributions. As an alternate, if council wants to give the fee waivers, it would be a cost of $3,990.
Okay. The total of the fee waivers add up to
$3,900.
The $2,000 cash sponsorship plus the fee waivers adds up to $3,990.
Okay.
Council, if I might just add, this is one of those things that does have an economic impact to our community, a positive economic impact as well.
Well, aren't we eventually trying to get this downtown?
We are.
Yeah.
Our
Tuscaloosa,
maybe, or wherever.
Somewhere in the vicinity, as opposed to McPherson.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any comments from the audience on this item? Anybody from FAFO here? Do you want to speak? All right. Do I have a motion for approval?
Motion.
A motion by Councilwoman Heinbachel, second by? Second by Councilwoman Rich. All right. Any further discussion by council?
Mr. President, can we have a clarification on what the motion actually is? Is it for the $2,000 loan or the $3,990?
I'm moving on the item that's on the agenda.
Okay, for the $2,000 only?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that what your second is?
I guess so.
Well, if you want something different, you can make a motion. We can vote on hers and then vote on yours.
There's sufficient money in the account, yes.
Well, can I just take my second back?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, you can.
Okay, well, I'm in a
okay.
Back.
All right.
You can make a counter motion.
Okay, I move that we give them the $3,900.
Okay,
did you
first,
say
$3,900?
Yeah, but first we have to vote on her motion.
You got a second.
Or withdraw.
No second, so there's no vote.
Okay. I can't second a motion. I'm not going to second your motion unless Councilman Owen wants to second the motion. All right?
Okay, so adopt.
Okay. So that motion fails because of the lack of a second. Now you can make your motion.
Okay, I move that we give them the $2,000 plus the whatever.
Fee waivers.
Fee waivers. To the amount of $39.90.
Second.
Okay. And second by Councilman Owen. All right. Any further discussion from the audience on this item? Back. Mayor?
I'm just wondering if FAFO has any intent to move that to the Tuscola Park area in the near future.
It may or may not be complete with ducks.
Can you imagine that?
I'm sorry. I just that moment brought to you by Aflac.
All right. We have a motion and a second for $3,990 to FAFO, $2,000 for the cash and the balance of it for fee waivers. All right. And no further discussion from the audience. Back to council. Call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye.
Ms. Unbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye. All right. Next is item D, approved contract. Well, item D is the cameras, so we're going to table that. We've already tabled it. Okay. All right. Next is item E, approve one or more proposals authorizing. Well,
recommend that be tabled as well, sir.
Was that tabled earlier?
No, sir. Recommend you table it now until we have the
okay, this is item E. This is for the downtown development, and we told Councilman Priester we'd table that. So do I need a motion to table that, Mr. Kelly?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. President, I make a motion that we will table item 10E regarding downtown redevelopment project to October 19th meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Heinbachel. Any comments from the audience on this item 10E, tabling this for the downtown development awards for the developers? Not back to council. Call the roll.
Mr. Olin?
Aye.
Ms. Unbuckle?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye. All right, next is item F, Enterprise Zone Development Agency Quarterly Report, presentation by Mr. Mondale.
Mr. President, Mr. Mondale asked to be excused tonight, so I will make this report on his behalf. The requirements of the Enterprise Zone require us to submit official reports to this body. The information is nothing new. It's information we've been sharing with you all along, so we have provided the two quarterly reports as required. Happy to address any questions you have. All we need is acknowledgement of receipt.
Okay, I know that we have one other company that's moving into the Enterprise Zone now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so that's three so far,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. All right. Anybody have any questions, Mr. Horst, this report in the Enterprise Zone? All right. Next is item G, ball field renovation project update, presentation by Mr. Phillips.
Yes, sir. Last council meeting, y'all had asked what the status was of the ball field renovations, and this is basically an informational item. We've given you all four ball fields. All of them will be back in service ready for play by the end of January.
Okay.
If you got any questions, we'll be glad to answer
them. All right. Tuscola. Tell me all about Tuscola.
Okay. What you want to know about Tuscola is on here. Basically, at the point we are right now, the Bermuda grass application has been done. It was done in July. the existing dugouts and scorekeeper demo is taking place or has been completed now, and the replacement of the dugout will be completed by January 31st.
Good.
Okay.
All right. That's a ball field that's about three generations have played out.
Yes, sir.
And be ready for three more when we're done.
Do you play there?
My father played fast pitch softball there. I played there. My son's played there. All right. Next, utility report. Matt Brower.
I have just two items tonight. I'm going to use the assistance of my staff. First, I'll invite Jeff Halcombe up, who's the Director of Water and Service, Water and Sewer Services, to make a brief report, and then Joe Noel.
Okay. Mr. Holcomb.
Good evening. Jeff Halcombe, Director of Water and Sewer Department. What I'd like to do is show you some of the new technology that we're doing. If you could look on your screens. There is a water tap that we have to make coming up pretty soon, and we're going to get probably 50 to 100 people out of service. And to do something a little bit different, if you can see on your screen, this is called an inserter valve. This valve, actually under pressure, without taking anybody out of service, we can put a valve right in the line, and we don't have to take anybody out of service at all. And you can see that a little bit, what's kind of going on in the process of doing that. It's an actual valve. It's an AWWA standard valve. What they do is a yellow piece that you see there. They bolt that on. The valve is bolted onto the pipe. They can go ahead. They can cut the valve right in. And there's a slide gate that you can see on the one end where the guy's standing on. They can slide that gate across. They can remove that piece of equipment. They can put the part the valve goes on, pull the slide gate out, and the valve gets screwed right on top of that under pressure. It's pretty neat. So we're going to do that and be able to save from having to shut part of the system down. So it's a couple of things we're trying to do.
You would do this where there's a leak or something?
What we're going to do is we need to be able to shut a part of the street main out.
Right.
And what we can't do is there's not enough valves to let us, without shutting a whole bunch of the city with down. So
right.
This way we can only have minimal shutdown and later on be able to use it for other, smaller shutdowns.
Is this not a piece of equipment you can use, obviously, more than once and for different applications, or is this the only application you could use it for?
Yeah. Anytime we need to have an inserter valve in water, wastewater, we can do this. This piece of equipment you would buy, but the valves, you have to buy those parts separate.
Okay.
But what we'd like to do is, right now, it's cheaper for us to just go ahead and have somebody to, a company install this for us.
Sonny, could you push it up where you can see that picture at the very top? Or push it down, I should say. Yeah, that. Okay.
You can use it on your, Mr. Owen, on your favorite PVC, and you can use it on ductile and any other pipes that we have here.
They'll use a lot more on ductile around here than with PVC.
Council, in some of the older neighborhoods, they design the systems, the valves are far enough apart that it's hard to isolate certain areas. Under today's design standards, that never would have happened. So this allows us to put in new valves to isolate smaller areas for control for whatever purposes that be needed.
Yeah, now we don't always use these. If we can, we'll shut down and we'll run a whole new system, but there are cases that we will use this inserter valve, and we're going to be using those coming up pretty soon.
Very cool.
When you have a car wash or a washer mat, these type of companies depend on water, and you shut them down for 2 or 3 hours, they don't like it.
What's the cost of something like this?
Just the different size valves are going to cost different, but I think the one we're getting ready to do on is a 10-inch valve. It's probably going to cost, just for the valve, inserter valve, probably around $8,000.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
Anything else?
No. Anything else? All right.
All right. Thank you.
The last item I have is we've reached a major milestone regarding our AMI project. I'd like to invite Joe Noel up, who's one of our talented supervisors, to kind of extend it to you.
Okay.
Joe Noel, City of Ocala. Earlier,
put that microphone down just a tad. There you go.
Yeah, I'm short. Councilman Gwynn, you were talking about Ocala not participating in the recession. And to do that, we have to celebrate our success as well. We have one. 2008, July, we entered into contracts with Johnson Controls and Elster for the implementation of an AMR system, an AMI system, really. And the implementation project has been successfully completed. Exception of a few punch list items, which are integration reports, things like that. Very small things compared to the overall scope of the project. We've done this. 100% of our 76,000 electric and water meters have been replaced with this technology. Talk about a couple of statistics. The electric system, of approximately 53,000 electric meters, the average number of meters not read on any given day is 2. We're reading 53,000 meters a day electric.
Cool.
As I've spoken with other companies and utilities around the country, I've come to realize that these results are amazing, unheard of. Tallahassee is not reading anywhere between 3 and 4,000 meters a day. And that's due to a few things, but it's mostly because they didn't have the proper planning and execution at the beginning.
On that same type system?
Exactly the same system. They have electric, water, and gas.
Right.
191,000 service points. But it's basically they didn't have the proper planning. They didn't get the infrastructure in place to bring the data back to make the system work as we did, as we succeeded in doing. If there's any shadow on our project, it is we would have been done in March. We started having some issues with our water modules, not meters, very important. The meters are working exceptional. And one thing I didn't point out last time I was here, we were looking for local benefits of this project. One of the local benefits is that all of the water meters are produced here on the other side of 75. Elster Amco has a factory out there, so huge local benefit there. The module that is attached, the RF module that is attached to the water meter, there were some failures that started occurring. So we were reading them, and they stopped communicating. And it took Elster some time to determine what the problem was, and it is a manufacturing defect in a number of these modules. The capacitor, capacitor was fastened or soldered to the board wrong, and so it's discharging the internal battery faster than expected in about a year as opposed to 15 years. So Elster stepped up and they identified the problem. They had stopped their manufacturing process of these modules back in March. And they started up. We expect to have these fixed and changed, but it's a warranty process now. So Elster's coming. They're going to change out the modules and get the job done. But I did want to point that out. And of course, I want to touch on all three utilities, electric, water, and telecommunications. And this project did add 150 miles of fiber in the air that can, in some cases, be used for other purposes. But overall, huge project done. Contracts have been paid and completed. And that's it.
So some of this money paid for 150 miles of fiber?
Yes, sir. Yeah, there's actually one little nuance there. The project only called for 125 miles. So that's all we paid for in the contract.
Right.
The other 25 miles of fiber was picked up by the contractor because it was a fixed price contract.
Okay.
Just want to remind the council, too, that the future will provide an opportunity for homeowners to eventually have the ability on their own personal computers to monitor their own uses and begin to determine their own peaks and valleys. And it ultimately will allow them to save money.
Well, and you can tell what's causing your usage to go up too, right?
Yes.
Whether it be your air conditioner or your...
It's down the road because it's a costly technology, but that comes forward. And as new homes, this might be something we might start requiring for new home development initially.
An option to, sure.
Well, but as a means of saving dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
And we would incentivize this to make it happen so we have less... We don't have to build new power plants
right. If
we can conserve.
Sure.
But I think it has a lot of other capabilities down the line that will help the homeowners to monitor their own uses and save dollars.
True. Okay.
A lot of great scenarios revolve around that, and that's where the true value is going to come out and help us evolve this.
Okay. Great. It's a great report.
I might also add, sometimes we have people that have a water leak on their side of the meter. And by the time we read the meter, it's almost 30 days in arrears.
Right.
This system could allow alert us within the hour or at least the day that something's gone crazy and alert the homeowner in time to effect repairs immediately rather than 30 days later.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Let me finish by publicly thanking my staff. This has been a major project, which has been underway now for two and a half years, and let them know how much I appreciate their efforts in pulling this off and doing it so beautifully. They're talented, they're wonderful, and I say thank you to them.
Okay. When did we put those meters in?
I've been going in for the last 2 years, essentially. Yeah.
But we approved it.
When was the agreement date?
When did we approve that? 4 years ago, maybe?
When was the project first approved?
July 2008. We finished putting meters in before March of this year, so February, March area.
But we approved that in about, Daniel said about 06 or 07. It was about $20
million.
08. That seems like longer than that. 08.
I'm sure you were studying it prior to that. But
yeah.
The authority had moved forward.
Right. Mayor.
You're not going to ask my question. Have we been talking to the gas companies about getting on our
infrastructure? I have not. But
now that you've got the implementation,
technology is getting there. You know, talking to Tallahassee, they have about 4,000 gas meters in service. They've had issues. They got them all fixed. They seem to be pretty happy with their results. So there you go.
Well, actually, we're looking to our telecom staff to engage in that conversation.
Yeah, it's an opportunity, but we've got the infrastructure in place that, you know, we may be able to get some sort of franchise-type fee for them to benefit as well.
The only thing that we have to add to the system are the meters themselves, because we already have the infrastructure in our service territory.
Well, they can put the meters in and use our infrastructure to bounce the technology, the data to them, allow them to basically use our highway.
Absolutely.
Mayor, we have a request out right now. In fact, we're going to receive the results here, I believe, this week. From qualified firms to give us some expertise about how we can leverage our system to achieve better outcomes just like that.
Great. Thank you. Good job.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Anything else, Matt?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Great report. All right. City manager's report.
I think you have two items. First, I'd like to call upon Mrs. Cameron to come forward and give a brief review of our new e-notify program, which is part of our public transparency, government transparency, easy to get information program. So I invite you to do that at this point.
Catherine Cameron, Chief of Staff Support Services. Yes, I believe Sneeze is going to be pulling it up on your screen.
Go to your screens.
We are happy to report that we do have a new tool to help keep citizens informed and provide updates of what's going on in the city. Sunny, are we able to get that up?
Yeah, we're not seeing anything. Hey, it ain't just all about you, Sunny.
You can scroll down, Sunny.
Citizens can go to our website now. If you look on the left-hand side, you'll see e-notify. You can click on that, and it will bring you to the screen that we're currently on. Citizens can subscribe to this service. They can check any number of things they'd like to be informed of, and they will receive these emails automatically anytime we have an update.
We're going to have budget meetings on there?
I'm sorry?
We're going to have budget meetings on there?
Yes, we are.
We can add one-time information, routine information. We can add things as we get requests from citizens. We can add additional topics. If there's some on here that no one asked for, we'll take off. But we think it's a nice tool, and I think it'll make it easy for people to, they want to read the minutes, they just click, and it shows up to their home email.
Can you add duck sightings under Parks and Rec?
Here, could you scroll down?
I want to e-notify when I see one.
Can you scroll down there, Sonny? You're controlling that, Sonny. Can you scroll down to Broadway project?
I call that guy every time I see a duck.
Broadway getting spruced up. Can you click that? Does it do anything?
No, sir. It's just
okay.
Yep, that's where you click to choose that you want to be informed anytime there's an update on a project.
So there is an update that automatically comes to your email.
You put your email in.
Okay.
Sends you something.
So you just check the ones you want to be notified about. I see. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
And you can unsubscribe.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Okay. And you can check
individually or collectively.
Yeah, you can check one, or you can check all of them if you choose.
Great.
Very nice.
Were you involved in this, Councilwoman Heimbuchel?
Maybe a tad.
Very nice.
Cheerleader.
Very nice.
It was an idea that they did.
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Good job. Very nice.
Very nice.
Now, if you can you get my screen up, Sonny, where I can show on my screen now? You remember what my number is?
Does that look like?
Oh, there's Sonny's email.
That's my email.
Oh, your email.
I wanted to show you something else we're doing, which is actually part of marketing tools for Ocala, as well as economic development. Oh, let me get some sound on real quick. On sound, there you go. Is it moving?
It's right to the point there.
It's moving, but
right there.
Hit your button. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's not going to work in this setting because it's moving too slow. But anyway, we have a series of videos, and I will email this to you tomorrow so that you can look at them. These are the final drafts. Where it says I approve this video, that won't matter at this point. Don't check that. Just give us your comments. But we have one on just a general welcome, economic investment, education, enterprise zone. You can read all of those. So we'll forward this to you tomorrow. It shows video clips, scenery, and gives good information on a lot of things that we think. And all these were paid for by sponsors.
Really?
Yes, sir.
This is a great economic development tool to send to companies. Individuals.
Exactly.
About moving to Ocala.
Let's see. It's moving a little bit here. This is the one with the mayor. I'm sorry the sound isn't there.
Who's that? We might not want to send that out.
It's amazing what Photoshop can do.
Everyone needs to be Photoshopped.
There's the beach.
It's either that or duck capital.
You gotta have an animal.
Anyway, you get the idea. There's one on quality life, recreation, downtown redevelopment.
That's cool.
And actually, maybe just play a small segment on the downtown development.
Well, what are we doing showing the beach and those old...
That one has to do with quality of life, showing that if you live here, there's things to do. But they're all different. But you can't hear what it's saying. That's the problem.
You'll send this to us tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But we find that a lot of people, when they start looking at our city, will, you can read words, but you want to see images.
Right.
How about... Is that Angel?
Mm-mm. No, that's Indira.
Couldn't see. Oh, Indira.
But these are some of our real merchants.
Couldn't see the face. Good.
But anyway, we'll let you look at these, and cool. We'd like to go live with them soon.
Very nice.
But there is, again, all paid for by sponsors.
So. Very nice.
But we'll send that to you tomorrow morning so you can
you want us to go
at your leisure so you can hear.
Tell us what you think.
Yes,
sir,
if you have any comments or,
this isn't ready to go out yet.
Well, we're hoping this is final, but if there's things we can tweak them.
Okay.
What does it say about the beach?
It just says that we're centrally located, and it says we have beaches within a mile and, within an hour's drive. And, the people that come to Florida, we're just trying to say, we got University, Orlando, we're just centrally located, got a lot of amenities within close proximity. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's all I had tonight, sir.
All right, thanks. Mr. City Attorney.
Just one thing, you have an upcoming, workshop with Parks and Rec on the Fort King site. It was discussed at the last council meeting. I understand from Ms. Crowell that they're going to have an event tent for city council. For the general presentation, and we set up under the Sunshine Law. They were then going to do some tours to council afterwards. Under the Sunshine Law, you need to go on those tours individually. And Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to have golf carts there for them. or you will schedule them separately, but you can't go on the tours together without violating the Sunshine Law. So.
Let me ask you a question. This is a noticed meeting, correct? Workshop, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the difference of us being here, and what's the difference of us being there and sitting next to each other or walking beside each other?
The Fifth District Court of Appeals said when a city council went on a bus tour together, it was a violation of the Sunshine Law.
But we're not on a bus tour.
But the public wasn't invited.
I don't have to agree with their legal opinion. I just have to tell you that's the law. So if you go on the tour, even in a clump of golf carts, the allegation can be made that you're on a tour together, similar to being on a bus together, which would be a violation of the Sunshine Law. You don't have to do anything differently other than the tours have to be discreetly on your own without another councilman there with you at the time you do the tours.
That's like
the tours.
I was eating dinner or lunch the other day. He walked in, sat down, and had lunch. That would mean I would have to leave the restaurant.
No, sir, it would not, because as long as you don't discuss pending city business.
Of course,
if you're on a tour of a city site, historic site, after a presentation, the presumption is that the tour is dealing with city business, and you do it together as a violation of Sunshine Law. Mr. Quinn, I'm not arguing with you. I agree with your point of view, my job is to tell you what the law is, not what I wish it was.
It assumes you're guilty until proven innocent.
Pretty much.
Let me throw out one variable that you may not be aware of. The golf carts were mostly to help those who can't walk. They would move at a pace with the walkers. And if the council and the public that chose to came all walk together in one group, does that not meet the intent? It's not like you're in a bus where the public can't get into the bus and hear it.
There's folks who may be handicapped. Part of the Sunshine Law requires reasonable access to all folks.
And that's why we'll have golf carts.
It's my old saying, it might be, but if you're explaining, you're losing. And so when it comes to Sunshine Law and my city council, I'd prefer to be not losing, not explaining and not losing. So I don't want anybody to make the allegation.
Sure.
They made the allegation against these city delay or somebody because they were in a bus tour together and you know they had to go through the.
I think the problem, council, is to Swofford and her small group of people to do them individually. There's not enough people to take one person at a time on a tour.
Right.
Because the tour is probably going to be a half hour, 45 minutes, as I understand it, a more lengthy tour. So it's almost like they need to schedule with you individually to come do the tour. And outside of what they might tell you in that opening session, I'm not sure what else you could do.
Just go out there and take the tour and don't talk to each other. Just keep your mouth shut.
So
my legal advice is just take the tour separately. And
yeah.
How y'all go about doing that, it's up
but
to
there
y'all.
Won't be enough time is what I'm saying. If they took one of you, someone would be waiting several hours before you got to your turn. So it's almost like they just need to schedule you individually if that be the case.
I would agree.
All right, is that it?
We'll give them this Swofford to
don't
see if.
I know.
I'm not. I'm just. It doesn't make any. No common sense to that.
And they wonder why government costs so much money.
I've told
it's because all these rules.
I've told Ms. Carr during many conversations that I believe the Sunshine Law is a violation of the U.S. the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. She disagrees with me. Supreme Court agrees with her, not with me, but I still think they're wrong.
Well, the House
but it's
Senate
my obligation to tell you what they say, because they do all
the House and Senate doesn't have to comply by it.
Yeah, can we adopt the state's law, what the state legislature does?
State legislature is subject to the Sunshine Law, too.
Yeah, sure.
They can vote to exempt themselves, unlike y'all. You can't even vote to exempt yourself from aspects of it.
Yeah,
they
two,
can and do.
Two of them can get together and discuss things.
No, they shouldn't be.
No, they can.
Now Congress does. You're talking about the U.S. Congress or the state legislature?
State legislature.
Well, they shouldn't be.
I think there's three.
But they're not getting advice from me, so.
Okay. All right, anything else?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Informational items, calendaring items, workshop we just talked about, October 12th, Fort King discussion. Meet here at 11:30, and y'all know where it is, find your way out there.
Meet there at 11:30, right?
I'll meet there at 11:30. Okay. All right. October 26th, 11:30, Recreation Parks Master Plan. Lunch at 11. Lastly, comments by Mayor.
Let's real quick back to the reminder. The Fort King is meet there at 11:30, and the tour starts at 12:15.
Hi. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know how the tour is going to work in this particular setting.
Okay.
Okay.
They need to be there at 11:30 for a presentation at 12:15. They need to be there at 12:15. Apparently, 12:15 is the time. We'll send out an email tomorrow to clarify.
Okay.
12:15.
So I'll change the public notice to 12:15.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to thank the Parks and Rec staff for helping to host the Sportsability event last weekend. We dialed up some great weather, had, I think, a lot of people come to town, and a lot of people participate in our community. For those who got to go out to see it, I know Councilwoman Heimbach, we'll let you speak about your event you got to participate in. But it's this is our second year, so I hope to have it for many more years. It's a really nice event, an opportunity for people to come out and enjoy the activities in town with some disabilities. So it was a really good event, and enjoyed the prayer breakfast this morning. So encourage y'all to, if you can, participate in the One Ocala, One America Week, which is really should be every week.
Yeah, Wednesday night, I think I have something Mary Sue can say when she comes back, but I think Wednesday night over at MTI at 7 o'clock. That's one in Heimbuckle.
The Sportsability event that I participated in was called One Up, One Down Tennis. For someone who doesn't play tennis, it was particularly interesting because I was the one down in the wheelchair. So I was trying to maneuver the wheelchair and play tennis all at once. So it was fun. But,
fun?
Yeah, but it's amazing. It was hard because you have to think about moving,
right,
which I don't normally have to do. Right. And so the thinking about how to get moved and then hit the tennis ball was quite a challenge. But Julie Johnson lobbed me some easy ones, so it was good. And also my other thing I was going to discuss was e-notify, just to thank everybody that had a part in doing that. I think it's great.
I know you talked to them. Is this part of what you were talking about when you first came on council?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's great.
More to come.
And, yep.
Yeah.
Good.
The next time you might go by IHMC, maybe they might have some equipment over there
to help me with the tennis game. I think I need to either practice tennis or practice the wheelchair before I'm trying to get what to do.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I'm good. Right. Thanks.
Councilman Owen.
Mr. President, I apologize to you for having to get the gavel out. They're back with that.
You.
But just a couple things about that. I never in a million years will ever believe that I know he doesn't like being called out, but the likes of John Zobler and I'll go any staff in this room, I know staff does not put this council, back them into a corner of going and promising the world things, and to have an individual stand there and somehow start accusing John of stuff, I'm not going to put up with it. I don't believe it for 1 minute. And I also apologize. You know, Ms. Rich, I was born in 1967, 3 years after the Civil Rights Act. To have somebody equate a duck to what you may have went through for the majority of your life, he ought to be ashamed of himself. And I have no use for anybody who equates the plight of a duck to what you may have went through in civil rights and stuff. And that's just, it's pathetic. And I apologize for that, and I hope you didn't take any offense to that. But, you know, if he's going to – that's all I'll say, so.
Yeah, that was bad.
And, by the way, there's 7 ducks at the golf course, so call him before I send a Titleist their way.
All right. Councilman Rich, do you have anything?
Yeah. We had the prayer breakfast this morning, and it was
good.
Nice, wasn't it?
Very nice.
And I just wanted to let y'all see this proclamation that the school board gives us each year for the One Ocala, One America. Ira Bethea and I go and accept it
we got it last Tuesday night. I guess we can find somewhere to hang it. And I went to my committee meeting in San Jose.
Okay.
They've got a population of 1 million people.
Wow.
3% black. I was getting scared. I didn't see any. I saw about 5 African Americans while I was out there. But we had a very nice trip and we did a lot of work. And we need to talk to Taser and let them come back and show they've got a camera that the officer can wear, and his hands are free, but the camera is taking pictures. If he's writing a ticket for somebody, the camera can see somebody doing something wrong on the other side. Might not be explaining it right, but they'd be happy to come and explain it to the chief and see if it's something they want.
Definitely.
And they've also got cameras that they can put on light poles,
right,
on poles, and they go around and they see things that are happening. And it goes to their dispatchers or whoever. But, you know, there might be some things that we can use to prevent crime. And to catch the criminals.
Okay, good.
So, may I, if you and the chief talk and see if you want them to come and give us a presentation.
Yeah, I'd be happy to come make a presentation. And just contact the chief. Chief, is that okay? You want to contact the DC or? Okay, thank you, sir.
And talking about the council chamber, they've got like 500 seats in theirs. It's 10 of them. But their city hall costs $4 million.
Wow.
They've got like a block. And they say the whole thing, because they've got everything there, all city departments, everything. Whole thing costs $500 million.
They bankrupt?
No. And I asked him who was paying for it, and he said,
the taxpayer.
The taxpayers.
Of course. It's who pays for everything.
Right.
So if our taxpayers had to pay some of what, can you imagine what they have to pay for that?
Yeah. I heard you're moving to California to get that city manager job. Bell, California.
It's unbelievable.
All right. Anything else? Oh, and I told them Wednesday night.
Retirement, too.
Right. Yeah. Get that retirement package.
complete with uniforms.
Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we have our musical at MTI.
What time?
And 7. And you all should really stop by. You don't know how many talented and smart teenagers we have in this county. They all come and perform, and it's a lot of good performing kids.
Okay. Rick,
yes, sir.
Anything else?
Festival, that festival downtown this weekend.
Oh, yeah, we're having the cultural festival downtown Saturday. It starts at 1 till 8 o'clock.
Well, it should be perfect.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Rick, where are we on recycling?
Well, we've been in the schools talking to some of the kids about recycling. We had planned a pilot program almost 2 years ago, but with the market the way it is now, there is no market for recycling. No one's buying it.
Even now?
Even now.
I thought there was a market for it now.
No, that's correct. The commodities are down. There is no market. We've been talking. Actually, we're putting together an in-house report dealing with recycling. We've been talking with Viola. We've been talking with friends. We've been talking with the group that just bought the other one, Ocala Recycling. But we're putting something together in-house to bring to y'all, hopefully within the next month or 6 weeks.
We're currently losing money on recycling, about $28,000 a year.
Because why?
Because it costs more to pick it up and transport it than we're getting for it.
Okay. School board had expressed an interest in doing something with both us and the county.
Last time we talked to the school board, they did not want the facilities on their property, so maybe they have a change of heart.
Yeah, they have. And I had spoken to Commissioner Feitos today, and, you know, we were talking about obviously just the schools in the city. They would be interested in partnering with us and doing something with the schools in the county and doing something as far as recycling, you know, together. I think they're talking about reopening that transfer station, and there's some options out there, but, yeah, I'd like to talk to them about it.
Most of the cardboards and those type of products were used to make boxes, you know, shipping out products.
Right.
They're not shipping as many products.
Right.
Glass, I don't know if we'll ever see glass come back.
Right.
To a ballot. There's just no need for glass. And your plastics are now becoming more and more problematic as well, because every time you recycle them, they degrade to a certain point.
Right.
They become problematic. But we are monitoring it and keeping an eye on it, but there's just no market for it right now. And I think if we were to start a curbside recycling program like some of our citizens want, they need to understand the only way to do that is for them to pay a fee.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, let's continue to look at it, see what happens. All right. That's all I've got. All right. If there's nothing else, we're adjourned.